Baby, Don't Forget to Catch Me by Emotion. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Now, there are many things that can be said about Primo. A lot of people don't have kind things to say, but that is par for the course. Most of them are jealous these days, because to make your own rules is something everyone covets one way or the other. Primo had a lot of incentives to make sure he was the only one who made the rules. He has been patient as he never was before, not even when he waited and waited to take on his uncle. This, if possible, was even more important to get just right. All the pieces are in place now. Primo breathes out, the weight of the rosary in his hands familiar, grounding. The wooden beads are warm in his fingers. He doesn't remember how often he has held it in the past 10 years, how many times he reached for it, going through the all-too-familiar prayers when the doubts begin to creep in, until his mind quieted again. Primo hadn't been a man who doubted anything before. Before Jafar walked out of his life, carrying Primo's heart in his hands. The stage is set. Primo is waiting in the wings, if you want to keep with the metaphors. He's sitting in front of a high-definition screen, watching the live feeds from several tiny cameras dotted all throughout the hotel, perfectly happy to stay hidden for now. He doesn't need to be seen for this part. The feeds are following the path of a single man making his way through the lobby and into the elevator. He's dressed in a sharp suit and carrying a briefcase, and he doesn't look up once. Primo is both annoyed about that and glad about it. He wants to see Jafar's face, but he's not sure he wants his first real look at him in almost 8 years to be via a camera feed. The camera that was planted on the ceiling outside Jafar's hotel room door allows him to watch as Jafar exits the elevator, walks down the corridor towards his room. Nobody is following after, but the other man still pauses in front of the door, looking down the carpeted generic hallway. Nobody is there, of course. Primo made damn sure nobody would be on this floor right now. The lock clicks open. Primo clicks over to the camera within the room. The door opens, throwing a shaft of light into the room, then closes again with the heavy thwomp of hotel doors everywhere. A long moment in which nothing happens. Then the lights come on. "No," comes Jafar's voice, a little distorted through the speakers. "No, no, no, you bastards! I did everything!" One of the black-suited, sunglasses-wearing men Primo brought with him steps forward. "Our employer would like to have a conversation with you, Mr. Najem." The words seem to hit Jafar with all the destruction of a bullet. He is not usually a man who is easily read. Wasn't even 10 years ago. But today he visibly flinches. It's nothing more than a brief instance before the man regains his ironclad control. But it is more than enough for Primo. Then Jafar breathes out, breathes in, and allows himself to be guided out of the hotel room without any protest, without so much as a sharp word. The same anger that has been simmering in Primo for years roars up. He watches until the emergency staircase door closes behind Jafar and his guards, then powers down the computer and leaves the room in the capable hands of the IT expert on his payroll. He has places to be. This ends tonight. Then. It isn't evening but night by the time the door to Primo's house opens, but that is all right. They are both busy men. Constant demands on their time and presence are par for the course in their line of work, even if Jafar's is slightly less illegal technically than Primo's, which means time together is precious, if it happens with any regularity at all. Tonight, though, nothing is demanding Primo's attention. The night is warm. A true Calabrian summer night. So Primo is sitting in his backyard, working his way through a bottle of wine. He's made sure he has a clear line of sight to his front door, and when he turns his head and sees Jafar close it behind himself, he doesn't bother to stop the wide, pleased smile. His lover joins him outside a few moments later, his shoes kicked off in the hallway, and his suit jacket thrown somewhere over the living room furniture. Jafar is pulling the knot of his tie open when he leans down to greet Primo with a kiss, and Primo takes shameless advantage by snatching the dangling fabric to keep Jafar there as long as he wants. They're both a little breathless by the time he's willing to let Jafar go, and the other man's pretty eyes have gone a dark shade of chocolate, pupils blown wide. Buonasera, Primo murmurs against Jafar's lips. Can you stay? See, Jafar promises, leaning in for another brush of lips against lips. I am free until tomorrow morning, beautiful man. The promise of a night spent together curls hot and heavy in Primo's belly, warming his blood. He nudges the chair back a bit and tugs on the tie he's still holding. Jafar snorts but allows himself to be pulled down to sit in Primo's lap. He's only ever allowing himself to be this undignified when they're alone with each other, which means Primo enjoys it maybe a little more than he should. He doesn't care, and neither does Jafar. What am I going to do with you? He muses. It's a rhetorical question. His hands are already busy working their way beneath Jafar's shirt, tugging it free from his slacks with gentle tugs. So many options. You can start with more kisses, Jafar informs him. His lover's hands cup his cheeks, warm and long-fingered and familiar, hold him still in turn as Jafar kisses him. This one is hungrier than before, not a greeting but a declaration of intent. Primo purrs approval, giving as good as he gets. He grins triumphant when his hands touch naked skin, and Jafar moans into their kiss, the shiver that goes through him transferring to Primo everywhere they touch. Take it off, Jafar growls into the breath of space between their lips. Off now. It's been far too long. The chair creaks beneath them as Primo complies eagerly, stripping the stiff shirt off to reveal the beautiful man beneath. He leans in to lick a line up the defined chest and ends up with one of Jafar's hands fisted in his hair, tugging just enough to feel good, but not enough to annoy. Lids heavy with the delicious sensation, Primo strokes his fingers over the warm, smooth skin over Jafar's ribs, considering the feast spread out before him. Jafar growls when Primo's teeth close around a nipple, but the growl becomes a moan halfway through. Primo smirks. Beautiful Jafar, he purrs against Jafar's chest. Want to be wrecked tonight? Jafar's dark eyes meet his, full of such hunger that Primo shivers just seeing it. This might go the other way around. They are both used to getting their own way, and the dynamics in their relationship are never settled. Jafar wearing such a look has been the harbinger of a truly satisfying night before, though Primo had to hide the way he wasn't too comfortable sitting down the next day. Tonight, though, Jafar relaxes just a little where he's still perched in Primo's lap, that last tiny bit of tension draining out of him. I, he says, holding Primo's gaze, want you to fuck me. Primo blinks, then blinks again. That is not something they do with any regularity. Time, for once, and they both prefer to be the one doing the fucking, so penetration is usually not something they go for. But if Jafar is asking for it. Primo very deliberately lets his hands drop, cup Jafar's ass through his slacks. He leans forward, smears a kiss against the skin of Jafar's left pectoral. It earns him a soft sigh, his silent promise of, I'll take care of you, answered by an equally silent, I know. Sometimes it's easier if they don't have to say the words. It's raining when Primo wakes up the following morning. He can hear the water hit the roof, smell the scent of wet earth. He stretches, eyes still closed, and frowns when all he encounters are cool sheets. The light is still that of early morning, and his bed is empty. That in itself is not exactly unusual. What is unusual is that Jafar never mentioned having to leave this early. Disquieted, not liking it, and unsure what exactly is ruffling him the wrong way, Primo gets up to check the rest of the house. It takes less than 15 minutes to realize everything that belongs to Jafar, all the tiny things he left there, are gone. There's no spare suit hanging in Primo's closet, no cufflinks strewn over his dresser. Even the box of mint tea is gone from his kitchen. By the time Primo discovers the note on his desk, sitting beneath a bouquet of bright yellow sunflowers, it just confirms what he already knows. I can't do this anymore. Don't try to contact me. I know all about your business, and I will use it. It's been an experience. Jay. Now, the man already waiting for them is chained to his chair, but he and Primo are the only ones who know. Primo offers a smirk in reply to the furious glare directed his way, all but sprawled in his seat with the nonchalance he doesn't feel. He spent years working towards this moment. Every second he wasn't working to build his empire. He is a power now, not someone to be trifled with. This is the last thread that needs cleaning up. The doors to the room open on the heels of that thought, revealing the dark-suited, sunglasses-wearing men who collected Jafar from his hotel room. Jafar, between them, is doing an admirable job of looking unruffled, entirely in control. Until, that is, he spots Primo. The way his eyes widen, his entire body stiffens. It's almost a confirmation already, but Primo wants to be dead certain. He has to be. He got his heart broken once, and barely survived. Deep down, he knows that if he miscalculated, if he offers his heart up again only to watch it being broken again, he won't recover. He will turn into the nightmare several people already think he is. Take a seat, Signor Najem, he invites. He doesn't stumble over Jafar's name out of sheer stubborn determination, though it feels unfamiliar in his mouth. Jafar hadn't been Signor Najem since their second meeting. Jafar is moving stiffly, his usual grace lost entirely as he crosses the distance to the table. When he sits down in the third empty chair, Primo is in the perfect position to see both him and the man called Stefano Rossi. He takes his time, sipping his wine, or pretending to. Primo is stone-cold sober, and allowing Jafar to glance around. Notice the fact all the windows are covered by boards, the single door guarded by the black-suited men, the utter lack of decor, except for the bright yellow bouquet of sunflowers in a vase on the table. "So good of you to join us, Signor Najem," he finally says. "You see, Signor Rossi here did not think you would wish to see me for some reason. He declined to explain why, though." The muscles in Jafar's jaw work, but he remains silent. Primo takes another pretend sip of his wine. "Naturally, I'm a curious man. So I investigated, because I thought, Signor Najem, you and I had a rather good working relationship. And as it turns out, Signor Rossi thought so as well. It took quite a while to dig deep enough to unearth his connections to you." Jafar tenses even further, as impossible as it seems. Primo smiles at him, a shark smile. He has scented blood in the water. "Interestingly enough, Signor Rossi approached you quite a bit before he approached me, no? About a year before he approached me with an offer for his daughter's hand in marriage." Jafar's eyes widen a little, and Primo relishes in the naked fury flaring up in his gaze before he wrestles himself back under control. "Signor Rossi," opens his mouth, clearly ready to interfere. Primo rolls his head around to glare. "If I want your input, Stefano," he informs the man, "you will know." Rossi blanches further. Primo smiles. The man is finally beginning to understand that no matter what he says, no matter what he offers, he has maneuvered himself into a corner he won't escape from. "See, I was furious at first," Primo continues. His gaze drifts back to Jafar, takes him in. Time treated him well. There are lines around his eyes that speak of laughter, and Primo is glad for it. The hair is still shorn close to the skull, but the beard has grown fuller. There is silver creeping in around the edges, but that just gives him a more dignified appearance. Primo's palms itch with the sudden desire to cup that bearded jaw, to finally be allowed to touch once more. His patience for the long game evaporates faster than the morning's dew under the Calabrian sun. I was furious, and if I'm honest, I still am. Because you made a choice for me, and you didn't ask for my opinion on it. Did we, or did we not talk about that, amore della mia vita? The endearment hits home before his eyes. Jafar's eyes go wide. His lips part, sheer disbelief etched into his face. You cannot call me that, he rasps. You cannot, Primo. There's pain in his words. Primo wants to murder whatever put it there. And oh, what great coincidence. He can. I am Primo Nizzuto, he says. I can and will call you whatever I want, especially if it is nothing but the truth. Jafar's masks shatter before his eyes, one after the other. They contacted me, he rasps. They'd ruin everything you worked for at first. Then, when I told them they wouldn't be able to, it was your life. A single bullet, he said. They could do it. They would, if I didn't step aside and make room. So you did, Primo murmurs. He knows all this already, has heard it from the lips of low-level henchmen and Stefano Rossi himself, but he needed to hear it from Jafar. Needed to be certain his lover fought for them. We will still have a conversation about making decisions for me without consulting me about them, amore mio. There is no name for the expression on Jafar's face, but Primo thinks he sees hope in the mix. I can work with that. Primo is seriously considering getting up just to kiss this man when Signor Rossi decides that, seeing as he's fucked either way, he can make it worse. I can't believe you ignored my daughter for this foreigner. She's a good Italian woman who would have been perfect at your side, a proper bride. Primo watches Jafar flinch, watches his eyes shudder and grow distant and cool. He tilts his head, not looking away from him. You see, Stefano, I have little use for a proper bride. In fact, I prefer the highly improper bride I have right here. Jafar splutters at being labeled anyone's bride, but he also blushes a little. Primo smirks, seeing it. And now that I have heard proof of your scheming, I think I don't need you any more. The gunshot rings out loud in the building. But then Primo chose an abandoned one for a reason. Jafar doesn't flinch, not when the shot rings out, not when Primo stands and rounds the table until he's standing next to Jafar's seat, not even when Primo reaches out to cup his cheek with a hand that is still holding the gun. You couldn't do this anymore. I couldn't fear for your life anymore every time I saw you. Jafar whispers. I never knew if they'd decide on that moment to run out of patience. I tried to find out how I could get him to back off, but I ran out of time. There was a sniper in the house across from yours that night. Primo growls at the reminder that someone got so close to them. No more, he demands. Someone approaches you. You come to me. Jafar nods, his beard rasping against Primo's palm. And really, he has waited long enough. Hand-fisted in Jafar's shirt, Primo hauls him up and into a kiss that tells Jafar in no uncertain terms, mine. You are mine. Jafar kisses back just as greedily, and it's almost like it was 10 years ago, almost. Except they're not alone. And while Primo might happily ignore the audience of one cooling body and two of his most loyal men, Jafar eventually tugs him back by the hair. "I will not fuck you in front of an audience," his lover tells him, quiet but firm. "That, my darling, is mine to see." Primo grins, basking in the possessiveness that matches his own. They've always been well matched, and 10 years to grow even further into his delicious dominance clearly suits Jafar very well. "Who says you'll get to fuck me?" A hand slides between them, cups Primo with bold familiarity. Primo hisses. "This," Jafar says with a smirk of his own. "Come on, Hayati. I happen to have a hotel room in the best hotel this town has to offer." Primo could keep protesting, could keep pushing, but Jafar is right. Just as his lover needed to feel Primo's claim all those years ago, Primo now needs to feel claimed, to be sure he won't wake up alone again. "Fine with me." 3 weeks from now. "I thought I might miss the charm of the old house," Jafar drawls. He sprawled out on Primo's bed, their bed now, and his position allows him to watch as Primo showers off the evidence of the very enjoyable hour they just spent in that bed. "But this has advantages." "Better water pressure, too," Primo offers with a grin, angling himself so Jafar gets an eyeful of his dick. They're not young anymore, but right now he feels pretty good about his chances of seducing the gorgeous man in his bed into another round. Jafar hums, eyeing him with obvious interest. "Showers big enough for two?" Primo smirks and reaches up to lather up his hair, tilting his head back to show off the long line of his throat. He can't see Jafar like this, but he can hear the glass shower door open, and his smirk turns into a smile. Jafar's lips are hot on his throat when he kisses the skin there. "Siren," Jafar rumbles against his ear, "come to seduce me." "I'm going to drag you to the depths with me." He's never been playful with anyone but Jafar, but now he's enjoying it to the fullest. Jafar chuckles against his throat. "Not if I drag you off into the endless sands with me first." Primo blinks water out of his eyes and tilts his head for a kiss. "You're picturing me as your pleasure slave, aren't you?" "You'd look great in silk." Jafar's shoulders are shaking with laughter, and Primo gives in. He wraps his arms around his lover, leans his head against Jafar's shoulder, and laughs with him. 2 years from now. The church bells are still ringing, announcing the blessed union to the entire town. The tables in the marketplace are groaning beneath their load, platters of all kinds of foods already sitting there between bright yellow sunflower bouquets. The scents of food and flowers are rich in the air, laughter and children's high voices adding a cheerful hint of chaos. The people are celebrating, and even if some of them might mutter about how this is simply not done behind closed doors, nobody is stupid enough to say so out loud where Primo might hear. Or where Father Torochi might hear, come to think of it. The man is young yet, but he has a spine of hammered steel, enough to look Primo in the eye and not wince, enough to agree to wed a Muslim man and a Catholic man in his church, and with enough love and acceptance in his heart to mean his words. The ring on Primo's finger feels heavy, a constant reminder. There is someone who cares. Someone who wants to see him home every night. That this someone is an unfairly attractive man, Jafar's hair and beard now sporting even more silver. Well, Primo considers himself doubly blessed. His spouse wraps a familiar arm around him, pulls him deeper into the shadow from which Primo was watching the beginning festivities. "You look deep in thought." Primo chuckles, leaning back into the strong body behind him. "Just contemplating how many people mean their well wishes." Jafar snorts. "Careful, or you'll go gray faster than I am." Primo grins and turns his head to press a kiss to the bearded jaw within reach. "Now all we need to do is find an imam with the same kind of steel spine as young Father Tarocci. The arm wrapped around his middle tightens. Thank you. Primo doesn't answer, just slots his fingers in between Jafar's. This man who sees all of him, sees the vulnerable man beneath the powerful Don, sees the violence and the blood of Primo's world and never shies back. This man is worth being a little soft for. Te amo. The end.